Well, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who is God manifested in the flesh, believed on in the world. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, and more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. For the next half hour or 40 minutes, I plan to speak on the first article of faith. And I was impressed with the little children's memory work. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. And this morning, I make no apologies for what I have to say. I am convinced beyond the shadow of the doubt that we do have the Word of God in our midst today. But ever since creation, the devil has been putting into the heart of people, has God said so? And today we have more translations of the Bible, more copies, whatever you can name it. You got the Soldier's Bible, you got Candy Bibles, you got everything from a farmer's Bible to a wife's Bible, they're all there. And the King James Version is regulated to a small portion on the shelf in the bookstore. The King James Version is not actually an authorized version. The king never authorized it. He just gave the permission to do the writing, do the translating, and that's all he done. When they started, John Reynolds was a man that liked the Geneva Bible. And the king had met with his people. John made this statement: may a new translation be made that will answer to the intent of the original. His opponent, who was against the Geneva Bible, says, if we humored every special interest, there would be no end of translations. And then the king said, I confess, I have never seen a Bible translated, well translated, and the worst is the Geneva. We believe this morning that the scriptures are the inspired word of God. We hear the remark sometimes that there are other translations that make the Bible better or make it more plainer. Well, that may be. But when God moves the heart of a king, which he can do very easily, though King James was a wicked man,
I believe that God knew that there would need to be an English translation of the Bible for you and I today. And he put it into effect. I believe that the Bible that we possess today is as close to the original as anything. And we have no reason to doubt what's in this book. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Since the day of its printing, it has been the best-selling book year after year since it was first printed. We talk about getting a Bible in our own language, but this Bible was not written in the common people's language. It was written in classic English. The king had 54 scholars sat down to review the scriptures and come up with what we have today as the King James Version. A third of them was from Oxford, a third from Cambridge, and another third was from Westminster. Hebrews 11 says that by faith we believe that the worlds were created by the Word of God. This morning, we must believe that this scripture, and we state that in our articles of faith, the first. We believe in the plenary and the verbal inspiration of the Bible as the Word of God, that it is authentic in its matter, authoritative in its counsels, inerrant in the original writings, the only infallible rule of faith and practice. I believe there's enough in this book that a man can take it, open it, and read it, and find Christ and get to heaven. That's all it takes. And this Bible has been translated into more language than any other Bible. And I believe the devil is very busy trying to somehow discredit this book. It's easily memorized, Donald. All you have to do is start young enough. And I would encourage parents to start memorizing verses with your children. They will pick it up. I hear parents say about a book that they've read. I just heard it recently. Said, you don't need to read it to her. She knows it word by word. She knows exactly where, and if you miss a word, she'll tell you that. If you try to change it, she'll tell you that. She has that book memorized already. And children can pick up scriptures at a very young age and memorize them. Plenary means full and complete, and it's total in its parts. God dwells with his people, and some of these things I've taken from other writers, and they're not inspired. I'll tell you that now. In fact, I have inspiration this morning for this message, but what I have to say, unless it's come from the scripture, is not inspired. New translations cannot claim inspiration unless they are from what we know is inspired. Strong's Concordance is not an inspired book. Halley's Bible Handbook is not an inspired book. It's a writing of men. The notes on the side of your Bible, and I have all kinds of notes on the bottom of my pages. They are not inspired. They are not God's word. They're what men's trying to say what God is. God's word is. And so even these, I need to take them and use them with discretion to make sure that what God says is what they're saying. And if it disagrees with that, then I need to take God's word. God dwells with his people in time and space in which he created them. God dwells with his people in time and space in which he created us. It is his means. It is means to an end. It has a purpose. It is not a goal in itself. I believe the scriptures come to us in a wonderful way. It is the equipment of men for the service of God. You know, this is the tool that we need for the service of God. I was thinking the other day about a little problem we have at Calvary. And then I shared with my wife coming out, or last night sometime. But you know that the new birth does not change your biology. You stay the same person you are with just same cells, same color of eyes. You talk the same way. But it does change your theology. It changes how you think about God. And it does change your psychology. And that is to how you think about yourself. And if the last two, the first one is not changed, but if the last two are not changed, then I question the new birth. Because God is God. He is the maker of the universe. He is ruler of all. He understands. He knows everything that goes on. And we must know that this God is a great God, a marvelous God, a glorious God. And he will have his way in the world. Whatever it may be, no matter who is elected president, God has a plan and a purpose for this world, and he's going to carry it through. We'll talk more about that later. And we also need a new opinion of ourselves, because we were vessels, proud and haughty. Oh, our greatness we could see. Yet how marred and useless in our master's sight were we. Then one day we met the Savior, saw him tread the narrow way, gave our lives in full surrender. Now we're only lumps of clay. You know, it takes a man from a lofty position of trying to be something. Nothing being more than a slave, a vessel, a use for the master. And we find that in the scriptures. These are not only human words, but they are the very utterances of God. Prophecy. 2 Peter 1:20 says, "For prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the word, by the Spirit of God." And inspiration encompasses every word and all words. Recently, I heard a brother say, and he said it in a, he wasn't a light way, he said, "Mennonites can build doctrine on a period." Well, that may be so. I don't know. But God knew all about periods and commas and semicolons and question marks before he ever had the Bible written. And I understand that the old Hebrew text had nothing like that. All it had was letters, and you didn't read the page this way, you read the page this way. And there was no punctuation marks, no periods, no nothing. I'd have a hard time reading a Bible if it had no punctuation marks, no verses, nothing.
just one page of solid printed letters, you would have to decide where it's going to start and where it's going to stop. In Ephesians 2, it talks about how bad man is, but God in grace and mercy saved him. This is God's self-revelation of himself. God has opened up the book to us. It wasn't mechanically produced, magically produced, or come down in a book form just like we have it today. God inspired men to hear I had a thought, but it just left me, but I'll go back to my notes. It is a part of history. It's not all of history. We only have 12 chapters on the first 2,000 years. And of the characters in the Bible, we only have segments of their life. And God chose what he wanted us to know. The Bible, as it is, enters into history. An example of that is, there was Abraham in the Ur of Chaldees. And all of a sudden, he was living his life, and God entered into history and said, Abraham, get thee out. It unfolds with history. As history moves forth, God opens up and shows men. It acts in creation. The Bible acts. It interacts with people. And it reacts to people. The reaction is when God had the children of Israel just at the border of Canaan. And they said they wouldn't go up. God reacted to their decision. And he says, now you won't go up. That's not taking away the foreknowledge of God. It declares. The scriptures declare the prophecies. It tells us what Jesus was. It tells us how he would come, where he would go, what he would do. It interprretates scriptures. You can read the prophecies of Daniel. And God comes along and interprets the same thing and says, this is what it means, Daniel. He directs in history. Through his word. He diagnoses. You say, well, didn't God know? Yes, but he said, I will go down at Sodom and see if things are the way they sound. The scripture aids. It demands. It is forceful. It has a strategy and it has a goal. And we must fit into that. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 4. I am so impressed with the book of Deuteronomy. Someone has said, and it's not inspired, that what Acts is to the New Testament, Deuteronomy is to the Old Testament. there's probably too much here to read, but I want to read just a little bit here. I started verse 5 of chapter 4, Deuteronomy. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye shall do so and go in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep there and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that it hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before thee this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest it depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. And then Moses said, see that ye don't add to this law and don't diminish from it. And we go to this, the ending part of the book of Revelation, and God says again, don't, the man that takes away from this book, this prophecy, his name should be taken out of the book of life. But he that addeth to it, God will add him the plagues. And that's just the same. Don't take away from this book. Don't diminish from it or don't add to it. It addresses people, all people, in all situations. You know, this book will meet everybody's need. God intended it so. It's for all people. It gains victory and it meets resistance. It's a force that marches on and never stalls. It is irresistible, irrefutable, and indestructible. That's the Bible we have in our hands. Through the writers of this book, full humanity, God spoke his word of absolute truth. That's what plenary and inspiration is all about. God took men in situations, some even in a crisis, and spoke to them and gave them direction, words for us today. It is authentic and that is authoritative. It is worthy of acceptance and belief. It is trustworthy. It is unadulterated. You know, I don't know the translators that translated this Bible from what was the original, or at least part of that. But you know, I am convinced that God is able to take the original Abraham was a Hebrew, but we don't know what language Adam had. It could have been English. Who knows? But God was able to use men, take his holy scriptures, and have it translated exactly the way he wants it, and exactly what we want to know, and exactly to the original for us today in this book. Do you believe that? If he couldn't, then he's not the God I know. He's not the God I know. You never need to fear when you open the scriptures that you're going to read something that is bad, even though what you read is bad. God didn't put the sin of David and Bathsheba in there just for
an exciting story to read. He put it there for a reason. He didn't put the story of Job in there for anything other than just a story to interest people and how come people can suffer. There's a reason why he put it in there. God said to Moses in Exodus, "Go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." His words in his mouth. In 2 Samuel, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. David was saying, his word was in my tongue. Some words are more important than other words. But God is not restricted. God's word is not restricted to just the more important words. The simple little words are important as well. I preached this sermon at Leola a couple weeks ago. And Sherwin didn't know it, that what I was preaching about. And he had a devotion on just a simple word, but. But. You know, that changes the whole picture of things. Just one word. The Bible reflects God's nature. It doesn't tell us what he looks like. He is a spirit. But we know that he has eyes because he sees. He hears what goes on. And he speaks. And he feels. He feels through his spirit when we reject him. He feels that rejection. He understands it as well. God's words are pure words. They are without blemish. Rooted in love. This word, the words are his. And they abide and remain his forever. You see, the scripture says that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus talks about the living word. He talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He says, if you don't do that, you don't have no life in me. You don't have no life. And this is the word made flesh. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my path and a light unto my feet. To guide me in the ways of truth. The Word of God is authoritative. You know, we talked about leaders this morning. And they're people that are anti-authority. And if they are, they're anti-God. Because God has set up the authorities, no matter who they are, whether it's your deacon, your minister, your police officer, your president, your cabinet, your township supervisors, they are all set in place by a sovereign God. For the welfare of his people. God discloses himself in his word. He displays himself. He exposes himself. He reveals himself. And uncovers himself in human language. This morning, God's heart through the Word is open to us. We see Him. We hear His words, His cry, His pleas. The love that flows out from His heart to people. Oh, that they would hear His word. Jesus stood there on the mount and overlooking Jerusalem and wept. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee. And his heart cries out, how oft would I have gathered thee under my wings, as a hen gathered her brood, and ye would not. God's heart is just opened up to us. Through the message that God has given to his servants to give to us, God has conferred full authority and trustworthiness on his word. Our decrees in the Article of Faith says that it is the only infallible rule of faith and practice. You see, there is no other place than we can go to direct God's people, to order the church, than this word. And God conveys those people in authority, with accountability. Trustworthiness was not attached to the general tenor of the writer's thoughts. Neither was authority restricted to certain statements about specific areas or issues. But God put every assertion and every word into their mouth. Well, that's not inspired, but I believe it's right. In other words, if there's something that is implied in this scripture, and you understand that it's implied, it is inserted in there. It's something that's there. God put it there for a reason. God's thoughts were put into this word. And we understand it so. We believe the Bible to be saved. We must. It's the only, the Quran, the Mormon Bible, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, all the other Bibles, they are made to suit the needs of their people, of their leaders who was trying to draw a crowd after them. And I suppose the atheist has the Bible too, of some nature or other. But this is God's word to us. We believe it to be saved. We read it to be wise. And we practice it to be holy. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came. Mine to teach me what I am. Mine to chide me when I rove. Mine to show a Savior's love.
mine to guide my wayward feet, mine to judge, condemn, acquit. Mine to comfort in distress, if the Holy Spirit bless. Mine to show by living faith, man can triumph over death. Mine to tell of joys to come, in the saints' eternal home. O thou holy book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Going from Deuteronomy, where Moses said, you are a people that the nations are going to wonder at. In Peter, God tells us that we as a church are to be a peculiar people. A people that is called out. A holy nation. That we would show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. What's this book mean to you this morning? You know, there's probably things in there that some people don't like, and maybe we don't like them either. But nevertheless, that's the Word of God. I think it was Ezekiel that God gave a book. He said, take this book and eat it. He said, it'll be in thy mouth as sweet as honey, but in thy belly bitter. And you know, sometimes the scriptures are the way to us. They're sweet to us to read them. But then we have to obey them. It becomes a little bitter to us. Because it cuts the flesh. It cuts the flesh. But this book needs to be a living part of our life. Just heard recently, a man claims to be a Christian. And I've heard him say different times that he has his devotions on his way to work going down 81. And yet he thinks it's his right to play computer chess. And I have to wonder, how can a man, an adult man, take the time to play chess on a computer and not take the time to read this word? Now, I don't know how. I never played chess on a computer. I don't know how long it would take. But if I understand chess games, they can be pretty lengthy. And so, does he spend an hour playing chess or 2 hours playing chess? On the real games, they could take days. And you don't have 15 minutes to sit down and read the scripture, meditate upon it, and pray. Brothers and sisters, something's wrong. Something's wrong. We hold in our hands this morning a very, very precious book. A very, very precious story. It tells us how life began, and it tells us how to end. And it tells us everything between it. How to live, how to walk, and what to do. So I pray this morning that we believe that this is the Word of God. And though we may not understand some things in it, I believe as we take this book and we open it and read it and we pray, and we get down on our knees, say, Lord, show me what you see in this. Show me what you want me to see. And we pray and agonize over that. And it may not happen in a day. But back, come back again and read it again. Lord, what do you want? Brothers and sisters, the Spirit that inspired the Scriptures is able to interpret them for us. Please remember that. If God was able through His Spirit to inspire this book, just common, ordinary men, there's things written in here about, from an earthly king. Nebuchadnezzar has words in this book. But God chose them as divine inspiration to put there for us. I think, if I'm not wrong, that it was Nebuchadnezzar said that he'll set up kings whom he will and take down kings whom he will. He is able to raise up and he is able to abase. And that is the truth. And a heathen king said it. The Spirit is able to interpret this Bible and show us what he wants to mean. It's the same Spirit. It's not a different Spirit. It's the same Spirit that it wants to indwell you every day of your life and walk with you. And he wants to bring things to your remembrance when you need it. And he will do that. God is so great. To even send Jesus, his Son, to die for us and to dwell in us as a Spirit. Oh, and when it's all done, we're still in profitable service. May the Lord bless you. Feast on this book. Never doubt its writings. Never doubt its meaning. Never doubt the author. By faith. We need to accept this word by faith, just as though we believe by faith that the worlds were created by the word of God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And may we do that continually. God bless. Let us pray. O Holy Father, Almighty God, everlasting thou art. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy goodness. No, Father, I'm glad this morning that you can come down into our midst and be in our presence and dwell our hearts, O Father. Thank you for that. Oh, Lord, there are so many things that we have that many people don't have in the world. We have friends and family and churches and wives and children, Lord, and we have teachings, we have heritages, we have grandparents and great parents, grandparents who believe the word and practice it, oh Father, Lord. Oh Father, in the last days that we are living in, when the devil is making every effort to destroy your people, disannul your word. May we take a stand upon the word of God. It is the rock that cannot be shaken. It is the light that illuminates everything, chases away the darkness. So, Father, thank you for it. May we just eat it up, Lord. Day after day, read it and meditate upon it. Lord, when thou art through with us, we would be so humbly glad to be accepted into thy throne, into thy kingdom, forever and ever. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. In his name.